This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Top of the hour. I am Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Jensen, it's so warm today. We're already up in the 40s, might be in the 50s here. I was thinking, like, it's not golf season yet because we're right in the throes of the NFL. We got the college football playoff starting on Friday. But, like, if you get one of those rare days where it's an outlier day, do you get out there to the links and start thinking about the Masters coming up in April?
You made me think of something, and the Jefe, Steve Cohen, you know, the most interesting man managing in sports network history, when he has the two destinations, being in Florida and then in New York, I think of him on days like today where you're like, if you're in Florida, it's never a doubt. You don't check the temperature. I think of you and I because in Nashville, this is where we found when I was a young champion in college, most of us in the Midwest, when it was 40s, we'd still wear shorts. When we had guys from Arizona and Texas and California, you've never seen guys so bundled up with scarves, with beanies, bubble jackets back when that was a thing. You know, it takes a different animal to be able to survive this type of year in this part of the country.
If I had dual residence, with all respect to my original home state of New York, I'd spend more time in Florida. Let's put it that way. Let's get to it here, top of the hour, our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Speaking of a New York state of mind, how about those Knicks? They win the third annual NBA Cup held in Las Vegas. 124-113 winners over the Spurs last night. We know a lot of our crew that's doing this fine program and also with a numbers game with Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidwin were in attendance for this game last night. And it does go over the total, and that's a chagrin to some, but they do cover the number here, the Knicks, of 2.5. I know a lot of people here in the network did like the Knicks. What do you make of it? Because, Jensen, again, they did do the cap and T-shirt thing here. So they're playing it up. The league is like, this is a real, true accomplishment.
Very, very, like Premier League, or not Premier League, I should say, European soccer, international soccer kind of feel where they have these various leagues and championships throughout. And then, you know, the Champions League is the ultimate, you know, crowning of who the best of the best is. I want to throw it out to you. I have a future on the Knicks at 16-1 to win it all. They're down to 13-1 this morning. Nothing on the Spurs outside of the Wemby MVP, but I think that one's going to be done. Spurs at 25-1. Either of those futures interest you to win it all. And I realize the Spurs, probably the one team that's hung with OKC thus far this year, but any of those numbers interest you?
I mean, I'd like to say that the Spurs number would feel playable today. And again, but what you'd be doing there is, and we don't root for this, but they do happen, is an injury to OKC, a significant injury. Because I don't know fully loaded OKC is losing to anybody in the West. Now, maybe you can monetize that ticket if they can get to the Western Conference Final, and that's where that 25-1 could come into play. But short of that, I think it'd do like your Knicks ticket a little bit better. And again, not trying to knock on it. Good for the league trying to do something and create something and break up the monotony of 1 of 82. But I still chuckle about LeBron and when the Lakers won it. And then I saw Lakers stands like, yeah, this is something MJ never did. Really? Okay, let's get to Adam Silver. The commissioner, and talking about, because the venue was Las Vegas for this third annual cup, could Vegas be on the horizon here for an expansion team? Let's hear from the commission.
I don't have any doubt that Las Vegas, despite all the other major league teams that are here now, the other entertainment properties, that this city could support an NBA team. I think now we're in the process of, you know, working with our teams and gauging the level of interest and having a better understanding of what the economics would be on the ground for those particular teams and what a pro forma would look like for them. And then, you know, sometime in 2026, we'll make a determination.
Okay, what I take from that is we're going to have a team in Las Vegas as early as 2026. I mean, that's what I take from it, Jensen, that the Pandora's box has been long ago opened when the Golden Knights got there and the tremendous success of the Golden Knights and the stigma of Vegas and gambling and what we do on a day in, day out basis, that is starting to go away. Jensen, I talk about this all the time. In my lifetime, I've met more honest people in the gambling trade than I have in just about any other, whether you want to call it journalism or, you know, traditional media, those sort of things. So I have long ago given up that facade and that notion that you can't do these things in Vegas because of gambling. Do you get that feel that Adam Silver is there and they're talking about now going through the proper steps? But that's what I read between the lines when I hear that.
Well, remember, I mean, you have the three-time in last 4 year champion Las Vegas Aces of the WNBA that have really made basketball viable, not only there, but that's the team you got to go through right now. And we obviously know the partnership between the NBA and the WNBA trying to grow the sport, trying to continue to bring in those fans that might be just casual. That's kind of where we are in Las Vegas, too. There's much more to do now. And when you have the tourism and you have those teams coming in, hey, you know, the Golden Knights, there's a trend there when teams would leave Vegas, you always wanted to fade them that next game just because of the philanthropy that some of them got involved with. So, from our vantage point, bring it on. More betting angles for an NBA team in Vegas, I'm all for it.
It did catch up to George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb when the Cowboys played there. They had to get benched for their shenanigans the night before. Mike McDaniel down there in South Beach says that, quote, everything is on the table at the quarterback position. Went on to say that he didn't feel like the quarterback position that was played by Tua Tagovailoa, by the way, didn't mention him by name, was not good enough in their loss to the Steelers here. They're 2.5-point dogs against the Bengals. Joe Burrow will play for Zach Taylor and company. Jensen, what do you make of this comment? And is this now to say that Mike McDaniel is kind of planting the flag for 2026 that, hey, if I'm here, then everything's on the table because it's got to look better than it looked this year?
I mean, it's probably how, at least for McDaniel, it's probably how they finish and how they look here in the last three games. Great job winning four in a row and being viable this late in the season after a horrific start. Remember, a lot of people had Mike McDaniel fired when they were 1-5.
Yeah.
A lot of odds on favorites there for him to be the first coach fired. To me, this is all dollars and cents, right? So much for Miami to have to do to navigate the next 3 to 4 years of what will be arguably the worst contract in football outside of Deshaun Watson.
Mention this big one starting week 16 tomorrow night. Can't believe it here for the Rams and the Seahawks. And this thing really is a pendulum swing right now. I'm seeing, getting chucked up thinking about the Seahawks tomorrow night. I'm seeing now they've swung back to being a 1.5 underdog at home against the Rams. 1.5 favorite. Yeah, we're seeing 3-point swings here. Like it's going out of style, Jensen, back and forth here in the last 48 hours. So pick them at circa. But again, you can find plus 1.5, whichever team it feels like as the week has gone on here. What do you make of this? And I wonder, Davante Adams, we're not doctors, but I can't imagine he plays tomorrow night.
So you could still picked up the Seahawks, the Rams at a 1.5 dog at about 6:45 Eastern last night. Dave, the clock turns to 8:00 Eastern, and the Rams all of a sudden jump the line and are back to the 1.5 favorites here. So it's pretty much remained between $8, $10, $12 on the money line. So this is going to come down to, you know, whoever side you think is going to win it. And depending on where you got it, I know you and I already on the Seahawks. I did get the Seahawks at plus 1.5 in pocket. The total is intriguing to me. 47.5 was the open. It's down 4 points already to 43.5. And so read into that what you might. That's below a key number there of 44. So anxious to see where that one closes. And potentially, is it right up to a game time decision for Davante Adams? If I'm Sean McVay, I absolutely hold that card until the last possible moment to not allow Mike McDonald and company to be ready even beforehand.
Big one on Sunday. Eagles can wrap up the NFC East and do something that hasn't been done in over 2 decades, and that's win the division back-to-back years. They're on the cusp of doing that with one win in the last 3 games. Saquon Barkley did not practice, by the way. Stinger that he had yesterday. Don't know of his availability, but right now there are 6.5-point favorites. We know that Jaden Daniels will not be available for the Commanders. And this is interesting. It's also frustrating. He's going to be practicing but not playing. Shutdown announced by Dan Quinn and the team that he's not going to play at all for the last 3 years. Interesting for a second-year quarterback. Let's hear from Jaden after winning Rookie of the Year last year to the frustrations of year number two.
It was obviously disappointing. You know, I'm a competitor. I want to play, but I wasn't medically cleared to go. And I sat down, talked to DQ and AP, and, you know, made the decision.
How do you feel physically?
I'm getting better. I mean, like I said, I didn't meet the markers to be cleared for contact except for this game. So now I was just focused on getting healthy and preparing for next year.
What's this season been like for you, just in general?
Frustrating, disappointing, a lot more emotions, but very much probably a lot of adversity that I've dealt with, you know, on the field for the most part, and, you know, just trying to learn and keep moving forward.
Okay, a lot to digest there very quickly. This is why you and I talked about it all summer. This was an underplay for me and this team, and those are all cashing for you if you were paying attention to us back then. I really like the kid. I call him a kid because I'm old. A second year in the league, rookie of the year a year ago. I don't have any questions about that, but Jensen, this is playing time that he is not getting. So I don't know that he's just a made man. We can say year three, he's going to be back to the rookie of the year, Jaden Daniels that we saw. Is there any issue for you that he is going to practice, but he's not going to play anymore this year?
No, I want him to get a head start because I don't have anything to play for. I have somewhat of a known commodity, but I also need to know what a fully healthy commodity in Jaden Daniels is as well.
44.5, it's going to be Marcus Mariota. That's going to be the starting quarterback again on Saturday there in D.C. When we come back, let's get out the crystal ball. Look into those futures markets. One absolutely shocks me when you see a price point that we'll discuss next right here on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Wednesday morning edition. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here coming at you. Going to get out the crystal ball now. And we're going to look into the football futures. And we're going to start off with the AFC for this conversation. Now, you mentioned off the top of the show, if you've been watching on FanDuel Sports Network, again, wherever you get your podcast, you can always go back and listen on your own time here at VSiN by the Books. Like and subscribe. We appreciate that. And you mentioned there that you had FOMO because you and I were not in attendance with the boys and the crew yesterday with Gil and Kelly. They were at the NBA Cup. I have FOMO over not betting the Houston Texans in the AFC. It's going to be one of those things. And look, we're happy that people, and by the way, shout out to everybody that was getting on us on X yesterday with their tickets and listening to us all summer long. I know a lot of people have been back in DAC in one of my predictions I gave out there. And they're getting ready to cash all those tickets. So we do it for you guys. But I do go back and go, man, Jensen, why did we not jump at the Texans, at the big numbers we could have had when they were 0-3? And we said even then in the moment, we thought they still had the best defense in the league if the offense could ever catch up. They're now inside that dotted line, if you will, to be a playoff team as the 7th spot right now. Now, it's still precarious at 9-5. Could the Colts run them down with Phillip Rivers? I mean, the market says no. The Ravens are not getting in, we don't believe, as a wild card. We think it's got to just be the winner of that division as the Steelers currently occupy that 4 spot. But I want to start the conversation with the Texans. And I want you to hear this conversation from a couple guys that would certainly know. And that'd be a Super Bowl winning head coach in Bill Cowher and a quarterback in Matt Ryan, Matty Ice, who came oh so close to winning one with the ATL.
Joe Burrow's not in the playoffs. Patrick Mahomes isn't in the playoffs. Lamar Jackson's currently not in the playoffs. And you've had Josh Allen's number every time you've played him. This is a scary team that when you look at the AFC playoff picture of a team that can make a run during that 17 tournament of the AFC, they could be scary.
I wouldn't want to play them. I think it's the best defense in football right now, playing at the highest of levels, and they got a quarterback who's starting to feel his oats right now.
Yeah.
And they got a running game that goes with that.
Yeah.
The Houston Texans, to me, I'll tell you what, you better buckle it up and you better get
You better buckle it up.
Okay, I'm with Coach. I get where Matt Ryan's coming from as well. Now, I think the old adage was in, you know, right before we got to 20, you know, probably 2017, 2018, with the Rams back in that iteration of the Rams with Jared Goff and the Chiefs back then with Tyreek Hill, the way they just, they poured it on 40 points. It was all offense and defense be damned. But if you go back and really look at the success of the Chiefs, for instance, it's Steve Spagnuolo and that defense, right? Yes, and Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, we get their brilliance. If you go back to last year when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, what do they have on that Super Sunday? A dominant defense. Yes, a running game with Saquon. He was great last year, but they completely shut down the Chiefs with defense. Are you there that a limited offense with Houston, but a dominant defense is good enough to make the run those two guys were talking about?
I guess let me ask, what would a dominant offense be for you in the AFC playoff picture? Is it Denver? I don't think we would say that. Is it New England?
No.
In spurts, but not really there. Is it Jacksonville as of late with this resurgence of a running game? I mean, Jacoby Myers is your number one receiver right now, at least in the last
but not dominant.
Handful of weeks.
No.
Pittsburgh or Baltimore, winner of the AFC North? Nah. The Chargers without Joe Alt and Rashawn Slater?
No.
The Bills? Unless
ding,
the
ding,
Bills.
Ding, ding, ding.
Unless they have, though, unless they have Josh Allen playing at MVP level, are
yes.
they really that dominant? Okay, so ironic, Bills would be the sixth seed right now. Texans would be the seventh. And are you telling me that right now the scariest teams are not the 12-2 Broncos that have won 11 in a row? Not the 11-3 Patriots who just had their 10-game win streak snap? Not the Jaguars who've won 5 in a row? It's the Bills who have won 3 in a row and the Texans who have won 6 in a row. That's where you're going. That's what you feel.
I do. And I would say this about the Colts before Danny Dimes went down, Indiana Jones. We look, with all due respect to their defense, we were looking at their offense. That's what made them different. It was the quarterback position, right? And so a lot of those teams that you mentioned, when we say, well, they don't have dynamic offenses, it's not that we don't believe in the quarterback, but they're just not named Josh Allen. Don't look now. Okay, you can look. Josh Allen is the third betting choice to win MVP, kids, to repeat as MVP. He's plus 550. So when you look at the Texans as a whole, we do start with the defense there and then get around to the offense. When we go to the Buffalo Bills, we start with the MVP. And you're spot on, Jensen. He has played like the reigning defending MVP in the two most important games to date in the last 2 weeks to come back and beat the Cincinnati Bengals, aided by a pick six, by the way, that people will conveniently forget. And last week, down 21-0 to the Patriots and come back and win. If Josh Allen plays like he has in the last 2 weeks, even if it's against the Texans on the road, and Matt Ryan's right, Texans have owned them. And I was on the Texans in that primetime game against Buffalo. But this iteration of Josh Allen, would anybody bet against them in the AFC going through and the gauntlet that you just said? A lot of good defenses that you mentioned too, by the way. But if we're just looking at that one guy that's good enough to beat any defense, I think the only guy in the AFC we can make that case for that's currently left is Josh Allen.
This is wide open. And I would say, are we getting in still at the ground level of where Houston could be? Like, are they fueling the engines and the tanks and getting ready for liftoff, or have they already lifted off and we're just starting to get to that initial ozone layer of where they could really get, you know, into the stratosphere? I think that's where you're looking at with Houston. From a future standpoint, again, we look at it. If the Texans do not win the AFC South, okay, so they'd go on the road. And let's just say, I mean, if you look at some of the percentages right now, Houston has the best percent, 32% right now to be the 7 seed, 25% to be the 3 seed. So they're either the 3 or the 7, at least how it's shaken out right now. So you're asking them, again, playoffs don't start today, but if they did, you're asking Houston to go to Foxborough to to beat Drake May in the Patriots. What are they getting? 2.5? Houston getting 2.5 on the road there?
2.5, three. Okay. Three tops.
Yep. So slight underdog. You win that one. And then in comparative pricing here, Texans right now to win the AFC is plus 550. Would you rather do the money line rollover there like we've done before? Wild card round, divisional round, and then decide where you are in a potential AFC title game and opponent to be determined. Is that the route you'd rather go than locking up the plus 550 right now?
That's probably how I'd rather go, because I don't believe, as much as I love this football team in Houston, I don't think they're good enough to go on the road if they don't win the AFC South and win a couple games to get to the position we'd need to monetize. I do believe the Buffalo Bills, if they can't run down the Patriots at plus 360, can do exactly that. The number that does surprise me the most might be the Patriots now dropping to 6-1. In that, I still think they're going to win the division. And if they win the division, they're still in play for potentially the one seed, but at least the two seed. So to me, if there's intrinsic value that's still left, it might be ironically on the Patriots, in that they're going to be able to at least host a game as the two seed. And if they're the one seed, you get the bye. So I don't know that I want to play the Broncos at $3 when I can double that up on the Patriots, and the Patriots still have a shot to be the number one seed. I mean, there's still a possibility that Denver slips up down the road and the Patriots can still get that one seed. So to me, Jensen, the only way I could play this right now is in the AFC East side. The Bills at plus 360 because I trust them on the road, and the Patriots at 6-1 because I think that's pretty good value for a team that could still be the top seed in the AFC.
I would say the Patriots give me the most trepidation, especially knowing what their run defense has looked like the last handful of weeks. That really gives me a moment of pause. And I'll put it this way. Who's beating Bo Nix at home if Denver gets the one seed? That defense, and we talk in Houston, rightfully so, I think is the best defense. Are we overlooking what Denver's defense has done too?
Yeah, that's a fantastic defense. It really is. I think it's right there on par, but not as good as Houston's, but very, very close. By the way, the Ravens, 10-1 to win the conference. If you had said that at any point at the beginning of the year, you'd hop on that number, but there is a scenario they don't get in if they can't usurp Pittsburgh. By the way, Pittsburgh right now is 25-1 to win the conference. Wow. Okay, I want to get to some fascinating numbers in the NFC side of this football futures forecast. We'll get that crystal ball out next right here on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Wednesday morning. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. Week 16 of the NFL begins tomorrow. Big one in the NFC, obviously, with the Rams and the Seahawks. This number has just flip-flopped all week. It's amazing to see the way this has gone. 3 points in either direction here, but never getting past 1.5 either way. But you are going right through zero, back forth. And we know how big of a playoff picture when you look at the football futures and that crystal ball for the NFC. How much this game will have tentacles for the rest of the conference here, Jensen? Because I think we look at the West now and go, well, that's the division. Like if you did a number on which team is or which conference is going to win, which division is going to win the conference, the odds on favorite is going to be the West, with the opportunities here for 3 playoff teams here, obviously with Seattle, the Rams and the Niners, barring something unforeseen. So starting there with Thursday night, do you shorten it like that and say, all right, with all due respect to the Packers, if the Lions could get in and the Bears have been a nice season, do you start there? And by the way, I've already forgotten about the reigning defendings in Philadelphia, that the West is where the true power brokers reside. And when we look at those futures numbers, we have to kind of start there.
Agreed. Seattle clinches a playoff berth with a win or a tie on Thursday Night Football. They can also back in to a playoff berth if the Lions were to lose or to tie to the Steelers. So that one is taken care of with Seattle. Rams are already in. And then we look at the Niners. Niners can also clinch a playoff berth with just a win. They can get in with a tie and also a Lions tie, or they can simply get in with a loss and a Detroit loss to Pittsburgh. So, yes, you can comfortably see that three NFC West teams are in, and more than likely it will be at least two. Okay. I did not anticipate this 60-1 future for the Bears to be remotely close to monetizing in such a big way. But the Bears now are 12-1 to win the conference. They can clinch a playoff berth this week with a win and a Lions loss or tie. Or if they tie, then Detroit would need to lose to Pittsburgh. So a lot of NFC teams can punch their tickets this week. The seeding then is where we really begin the futures exercise. Can you envision a winner of the NFC South? Buccaneers, Panthers, probably doesn't really matter. We said this earlier in the week. That division winner, if it is against an NFC West opponent, is probably going to be a home dog. Probably going to be a home dog hosting that wild card game, just because if it's the Rams, it's the Seahawks, the 49ers, you would absolutely favor those three teams over either Tampa Bay or Carolina. My question begins with, we have really glossed over the defending champs. Is there anything that inspires you about Philly at 5-1 right now without them really showing you a continuity the last couple of weeks? And I don't even count what just happened against the Raiders, because the Raiders are dreadful. What do you hang your hat on with the Eagles at this point, outside of, like, if we're looking outside of the NFC West, is it the Eagles that all of a sudden is that next contender in your eyes?
You know, the amazing thing is, I know it was the Raiders last week, and you get the shutout 31-0, but you can still make a case that if they run the table with two against the Commanders, yes, it's a tough one in Orchard Park against the Bills sandwiched in, that if they win the next three, they're in line for a two seed. Like, and then all of a sudden, you wouldn't be able to get plus $5 or plus $5.50 on the Eagles to repeat and get back there, right? And get to 12 wins. I mean, I don't think that's going to happen, but I mean, there's an outside shot. They could still be the one seed. If the Rams, you know, really cannibalize each other down the stretch, they lose to Seattle tomorrow night, and that starts to happen. And with the Bears, with the tough one, we know with the Packers right now, with a 9-win Packer team. I mean, there's still iterations where the Eagles can get to a two and a really long shot for the one. But no, I'm not inspired by that team at all. I just don't know that they're good enough against defense first for the Eagles. We know how offensively challenged they've been. I'd like to approach the bench and redirect, if I may, on the NFC South, Your Honor. Because I think the Buccaneers could be a little bit more alive than the market wants to give them if they can, in fact, get in. I think they would be the sleeper cell in the NFC that everybody would overlook and possibly could really upset the apple cart. We saw it a couple of years ago when they were home dogs against the Eagles, and the Eagles came in limping in, and they just mollywopped them, right? And then they were really competitive in a loss that year to the Lions. Point being, if the Buccaneers, and I know they're 7-7, and we saw what happened last Thursday night where they choked one away against the ATL, I think they have the requisite skills and actual talent that they could be a real player if they get in. So while I'm stunned that they are almost a $4 betting favorite right now to win the division over Carolina, I have no visions of grandeur that if the Panthers were to win that division, I'm with you, they would be that one team that you go, oh, they're not winning a playoff game, whether it's hosting a game. Obviously, it would be hosting a game if you win the division. But I think the Buccaneers would be the other team that, boy, if I didn't win the West and I had to go on the road, Sam Darnold, let's say, on the road at Tampa Bay, that could get dicey. So, Jensen, there was a real long shot that I wanted to look at in the NFC, it would be the Buccaneers at 22-1. Could I interest you in that potential extreme long shot? But again, they still have to take care of business and win at least once against Carolina in the last three, if not twice.
As something tells me that they finally have that, I don't know if you need a players-only meeting, what kind of camaraderie-raising event you needed. But my guess is it's either happened or it's going to happen here today, tomorrow, what have you. Beauty of this group is there are a lot of veterans there that understand the clock of the career. And you don't get into these situations just every season. I think they are also one of the most battle-tested teams because of not only the injuries, but remember the amount of close games at the start of the year. Heck, we've been the victims of Baker beating us in millions first 2-3 weeks of the season. So I find that even though they've lost 6 straight games against the spread, in this week, has Carolina showed you anything the last couple of weeks of playing against good teams that
no.
If they make a mistake or two, that they can overcome what Baker Mayfield and that offense can do? Mike Evans, the emotion that I saw from him, is a guy that gets it, that knows he don't have a lot of time left. Or is this it as far as the injuries he's had to overcome to get back to this spot? So it wouldn't shock me if this is the most inspired we've seen Tampa play in quite some time, whether it be from the Todd Bowles from the pulpit, whether it be the leaders, Vita Vea, a lot of these guys in-house, bringing everyone together and saying, fellas, still a boatload to play for here, but it has to start this weekend. So, yes, I can accept Exhibit A of what you've presented here, that 22-1 isn't out of the realm of possibility. If nothing else, then the credo of Mike Palm to monetize and have the opportunity to make a profit. You can decide when you want to jump out, but I'm with you too. It starts this week, so it's almost a correlated play here. Get a little bit of 22-1 in pocket because that number comes down, knowing what they would be as far as the stranglehold they'd have on the NFC South with a win over Carolina. And then let's see where the chips fall for who they potentially would play as the 4 seed.
Because this is not college football, and we don't look at the recency model, right? It's, they're playing their best football. When you look in totality of the Buccaneers, they have 3 of the best wins on the docket. At Houston, how good does that win look now?
Yep.
At Seattle, people have already forgotten that one. And against the Niners, where they dominated San Francisco. So they have 3 really impressive wins. That says to me, Jensen, that when they are right, they can play with anybody in either conference. I might be looking at the 22-1 number, and I think they got a stay of execution from the governor with that loss by Carolina against New Orleans last week, and I would expect Tampa Bay to put their best foot forward going forward, and that 22-1 could be very live if they can win their first-round playoff game, which would be at home in the big pirate ship down there in Tampa. Make the holidays unforgettable with Omaha Steaks. From holiday roast to hand-selected gift packages, Omaha Steaks delivers top-quality meals and memorable gifts that bring everyone together. Every steak is perfectly aged and hand-carved for exceptional flavor. And right now, as a VSiN exclusive, you get 16 free smash burgers with any order of $129 or more, plus 50% off site-wide. Visit omahasteaks.com/VSiN. That's omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Minimum purchases may apply. See the site for all of the details. While we're very excited for the NFL playoffs, normally I don't get this jacked up, but I am ready for the college football playoff to begin, Jensen, on Friday, with no interest other than a significant betting one in this Alabama and Oklahoma game. Let's break down the first round of the college football playoff, which goes well into Saturday here with 3 big ones. We're going to do that all next when you come back with us right here on VSiN by the Books.
By the Books, right here on VSiN.
We're going to have our managing editor here at the network, Adam Burke, join us a little bit later on. And, of course, our Wednesdays with Wes. Wes Reynolds is going to join the program. We talked to Wes this time of year. I know he's fired up for his Indiana Hoosiers, but I know that golf handicapping is right around the corner, too, for us, too, Jensen. So I can't wait for that. Of course, we all are ready for the college football playoff. It begins on Friday. And we have a guide that's out right now, kind of a la carte there. If you want it, you should get it. For $14.99, you can get access to our college football betting guide. It is out right now. great features, full previews of every first-round game, and overviews and insider breakdowns, best bets, custom brackets from our experts here at the network. Steve Mackinnon's got his power ratings and bold picks from across the VSiN network. So again, we urge you to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. And that's a great deal in and of itself, $9.99 for the first 30 days. And you get this betting guide before you begin the college football playoff on Friday. But if you want it a la carte, it is available right now for $14.99. So get your guide now at VSiN.com/CFP. That's VSIN.com/CFP. Let's talk about the college football playoff, because I think I like what they have done in that Friday night. It's a great standalone spot, right? It's Alabama, Oklahoma. I mean, I would make the case they probably should have put two games on Friday to really steal the thunder here, because you're going to go up against the NFL on Saturday with your other three games. But when you do start it off with a bang, with Alabama, and again, they are the answer to the forever trivia question of who's the first three-loss team ever to be into the college football playoff? It's Alabama. Now, they're one-point favorites on the road. The total has been at 40, up to 40.5 here as we get about 72 hours away here from kicking this one off, Jensen. What do you make of it, or 48 now? What do you make of this number? Do you think Alabama, whether or not I know which side you like, but do you think they should be the favorite?
I can see why they would. And again, the question becomes defensively, you know, where Oklahoma has been such a juggernaut. They've been an under machine. I think that total is right. I know we don't usually tease within the same game, but if you were going to do it, just knowing that there's been offensive struggles for Alabama in the run game, as I highlighted earlier this week, we do not know how healthy Ty Simpson really is. And until he takes that first hit, we may not know. Has John Mateer and this offense for Oklahoma given you a lot to write home about? No. So this is almost one of those standalone spots, if you will, teasing Oklahoma up to 7.5 and teasing that total under up to 46.5. You tell me, you think that these two teams with those two elite defenses, it almost feels like the first team to 20, if you get there, wins this football game. And so I wouldn't be shocked if the under is the best play here. Now, you also run that risk of potential overtime. And, hey, with a spread of one, would not be shocked if this comes down to the final possession. But something about the uncertainty of Ty Simpson really has stuck with me, and it was a big reason why I got to Oklahoma. And I also looked at it on the flip side of, I don't think Oklahoma's offense can be as bad or as inconsistent as they were down the stretch. They've had some time to be able to kind of recalibrate here a little bit. At one point, John Mateer was your top betting choice to be the Heisman winner early this season. So can they get that DNA back of him being able to use his legs when he needs to? Will that firepower, Deion Banks is going to have to be amazing for this group outside. And that also gets you to Alabama's side. Jeremy Bernard has been way better than Ryan Williams, who is one of the non-quarterback Heisman favorites beginning of the season. Love the matchup in this game. I do think defense rules the day.
I think you nailed it on the head with Ty Simpson and his health. And look, I've played a long shot play here as a numbers play for me. Bama at 30-1 to win the college football playoff. And it's going to be really tough if Ty Simpson is not 100%. But I'll be watching that very closely early. By the way, just want to point something out. And if you've been watching on FanDuel Sports Network, you saw it, that you saw Bama -1 and the money line price at -$1.20. What's interesting is if you go over to DraftKings, you have Bama -1.5, but the money line price is -$1.12. So I know a lot of people always go, oh, these guys always say shop around. That's why you shop around. So even though the number is actually larger at 1.5, the money line price is shorter at $1.12. So do that. It's just saving you money, people. We're not saying we can't tell you who's going to win the game. We can tell you who we think is going to win the game. But we can tell you what number to play a better number and get value for your buck. And so that's what we try to do here. So look at those money line prices here before you blindly play them. Sometimes even with those numbers being askew, the numbers will be different on the money line price. It's a better one at DraftKings if you're on the side of Roll Tide at -$1.12. On Saturday, I kind of find this interesting that everybody seems to like Miami, and I do like the Canes as well, getting the three against the Aggies. But remember, the Notre Dame faithful kept telling us what a good loss it was to Texas A&M, but yet it seems like a lot of people like Miami as three-point dogs against A&M, who beat Notre Dame in South Bend. So this is an interesting one here from that perspective of like, hey, both these teams did play Notre Dame. Both these teams beat Notre Dame. Who's going to beat the other?
If you are a VSiN Pro subscriber or you have bought the college football playoff betting guide a la carte, you know that my strongest convictions lie with the Hurricanes. And in this game in and of itself, first of all, schedule makers got it way wrong. Why play this at 11 a.m. Eastern time when you could flip-flop Ole Miss and Tulane to be that early game? Why is Miami Texas A&M not in the heart of the afternoon? And I get it. We got two NFL games on Saturday too, but trust me, plenty of people are going to be watching this one, and what a way to kick off Saturday. Hurricanes open +4. They're down to +3. Defensively, this is an NFL caliber front. They will make life miserable for Marcel Reed and company. And I still don't know what I can trust from the A&M offense. Can I trust the A&M defense to potentially limit Carson Beck and company? Yeah, I think you could do that. Carson Beck has had the knack for turning the football over. So the under is certainly in play. And that has come down from 52.5 to 50.5. But I just think Miami, the way they finished the season versus the way A&M finished the season, this is strictly a play in this round off the defense getting right. And I think Carson Beck has been in these big moments far more, understands how to execute in clutch situations. Give me the Hurricanes, forget the points. I think they win this one outright.
I love where your head's at. I'd love to see it's all about the U and Miami make a run in this thing here. I do feel like they've got to feel like, too, hey, they put us in this thing. We didn't know that we were going to get in there. Now that we're in, that excitement level should be through the roof. And kind of conversely for A&M, they got to be thinking, wow, we lose to Texas and we drop all the way to 7? Like, I thought that was a good win against Notre Dame. Maybe it's not as good as people initially valued here. So that's interesting to see them slip sliding away. Ole Miss slipped down to 6. And maybe part of that, obviously, is Lane Kiffin. I think people might have thought they might have slipped further and to only go 2-6 against Tulane. Seen some 17.5s out there as well. Pete Golding will be the head coach for Ole Miss, not interim, the head guy. Meanwhile, Tulane's going to be losing their head coach. We know that John Summerall is going to be going to Florida, but he's going to stay with the Green Wave here. What about that dichotomy where you've got one school moving on to the next guy and the other school will be moving on, but that guy is not here yet and you're still in with the old and instead of out with the new here?
Watch plenty of SEC this year, my friend. Ole Miss's defense will let Tulane hang around this number. They should win the game. But I don't see anything from an Ole Miss secondary or even their front seven that I would be scared of if I'm Tulane's offense. I think they can perhaps grind this thing down to a position where you limit the possessions for an offense. And let's still double check and make sure that Trinidad Chambliss is going to play this game. There's a lot of rumors about him potentially being in the transfer portal and going to LSU and following Lane Kiffin. Should he play, wow, Dave? It's quite the dynamic dual threat here. Ole Miss wins this game. I don't know if they cover.
And remember, this is a rematch. Ole Miss pounded them pretty good, but there is no way in Kiffin walking through that door. He's down there in Baton Rouge. Madison. I mean, I love their social media. I don't know that the social media is going to help them against the Ducks here. Are you looking to lay the 21 with a quack attack, or can we go with the feel-good story of James Madison to keep this thing inside the number?
Yeah, it has come down half a point. One of my write-ups in our college football playoff betting guide, I went more towards the Oregon team total, over 34.5. You can get that right now at $1.05 on DraftKings. If you're worried about the spread, I'm not as worried. And listen, credit where it's due. James Madison, one of the best-ranked defenses in all of college football. But this is, I don't know how many different weight classes you got to go up in UFC terminology, ooh, Dave. But yeah, this is like three different weight classes that they're coming up against Dante Moore and company.
Yeah, it feels like it might be a bantamweight against at least a light heavyweight here, if not a heavyweight, in the Oregon Ducks. I'm with you. I'm picking up what you're putting down. When we come back, what goes up must come down. Stock down and stock up. And could we be living it up with Ja Rule? We'll explain how he might make the show. That's coming up next right here on VSiN by the Books.